the title of this talk is Taming the Tongue. And I personally picked that because I've got a teaching that I've been giving out many, many times. And I even got it when I lived in Texas, and it would change my life. And when you get something from the Holy Spirit that changes your life, then you just, it's kind of like you can't stop. You got to share it with folks. So my whole thing here is to turn faith walkers into faith talkers. Faith talkers. Yes, that's it. Just chew on that one a little bit. The important thing is that whatever comes out of our mouths is listened to by more than we know, because we're going to be held responsible. Can you imagine getting to heaven and the Lord said, "Why did you say that?" We're going to be held responsible. I mean, we all should be searching our hearts as to what we're saying literally every minute of the day. All right, I'm going to read the verses that I have been assigned, and then we're going to go from there. Not many of you, starting verse 1, this is the English Standard Version. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. Able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. Amazing. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Okay, so we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning as through the Apostle James. I just wanted to say that in my notes here, when I prepared this, I said, Lord, there are going to be scriptures that are going to complement this. Actually, there's a fulfillment. There are so many powerful principles that are connected to this particular teaching. I mean, there are principles in this that are so profound as to be life-changing, because we got to watch what comes out of here. We just need to. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the lamp or candle of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. Again, Proverbs 20:27. So couple that with Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. How many of you guys heard that scripture before? I certainly have. And when I got through this, I got to the point here. I said, well, Lord, what do you want me to say here? And it says, this is, we're dealing constantly with the heart. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay, we all know, or at least I've been taught this, and I don't know if many of you have heard this, that what consists of the soul of man, mind, will, emotions. That's what I've been taught. This is the soul of man. Well, the mind is many times controlled by what comes out of the heart. All right, now here is the key to life and how to live the Christian life. Whatever comes up out of the heart must go through, and here's my key. I'm going to get to this real early. Whatever comes up out of the heart must go through the born-again spirit. I don't see a strange face in this room. So you all are brothers in Christ, I can tell. You guys have been coming here a long time, and you know Jesus. That's important. So I can talk to you like brothers in Christ, not like new Christians. It's a whole different thing here. When I evangelize, I do not talk like this. This is Christianity 404 going on here. Because I'm bringing you to the place where when we do, I'm going to be held responsible for what I'm teaching this morning. And that's scary. That scares me right down my shoes. Because I know that God has a wonderful plan. Somebody needs to learn this as to what God is trying to tell them. So whatever comes up out of the heart must go through the born-again spirit, which, listen, has been justified by the Holy Spirit, made ready for the great return of Jesus. Ephesians 1:13. The spirit of man is sealed by the Holy Spirit. I love that verse. If your spirit of man is sealed by the Holy Spirit, that's great. All we got to do is check with the Spirit that is indwelt with the Word of God, having made it perfect by the washing of the Word. You like that? I just got that from the Lord. Your spirit, man, has been washed by the Word of God, cleansed, made perfect until the day that when the Holy Spirit says, I'm holding this aside. Now, you're warring over here with your spirit, and your spirit still sins. Not your spirit, excuse me. Your soul still skin. Your soul consists, one of the components of the soul is the flesh. Okay? The flesh, the heart, all sin. They all war against the spirit. This goes on all day long. You got the book of Romans happening all day long. And we need to choose what we're going to follow. So we are, that process is called sanctification. Everybody agree with that? You're in the process of sanctification, every single one of us. We have all been, I love this, we have all been justified at the time that Jesus came into your heart. When he came into your heart, made you brand new, you are justified. You are made perfect and ready for the return of Jesus Christ at that moment. Beautiful words. Also very true. But this process of sanctification is a daily work in progress. Either you're going to get it right down here, because we are going to get it right up there when we go to meet the Lord. So having said that, we practice on ourselves now by harnessing our hearts, which need no facts to get you to say something, only feelings. Then out of the heart the mouth speaks, and therefore defiles or tries to defile the spirit. Thank God the Holy Spirit is there to act as a filter, to stop us from saying and then doing whatever comes to us. And this is why Paul tells us to pray unceasingly. You ever wonder why he says pray unceasingly? That's the reason. It's because you're constantly fighting against your soul, your soulish realm. We must stay, and the book of Romans calls it, in the spirit. And only boast in one thing, the cross. I can boast in the cross of Jesus Christ because that's what took care of every single sin that Lowell Nye has ever committed or ever will commit. Christ has sanctified me by the sacrifice done on it to get me to heaven. Hallelujah. So, moral of the story is don't let your emotions get the best of you. Amen? When people say, speak your mind, boy, be careful of this. This is going on all day long with the politics stuff. It's going on all day long, and it makes me sick. I actually mute the TV set. Right through these political commercials. I'm so sick of that stuff. I'll bet you are too. It stinks. So I don't care which side it is. There ought to be some type of law that limits that stuff. Speak your mind that they are really saying to blurt out whatever is on your heart, no matter who you might hurt, and the missiles that get launched into someone's heart. The results of that can be, and frequently are, devastating. Okay, now I'm going to give you a personal example of that. Lowell's going to go into his past life, but I have to do this in order to make sure you guys understand precisely what I'm talking about. My wife at the time, on January 26, 1982, sat me down, and after seeing or feeling that the love of the marriage was gone, asked for a divorce. Cried. It had been like a volcano growing in my heart over the past few months, and I knew, I didn't know why until that day. I was getting sicker by the day, and didn't know why until that fateful day. I lost 10 pounds in 4 days. I mean, that was a state of shock when she said that to me. Deadly missiles that hit square in my heart and exploded. I was emotionally destroyed. I also went in a state of shock. I did. I don't want to get into that. It's just, that's history. So what does the Lord have to say about this? Run that thought by the Lord first and see what he says to you if the Lord will speak to you on the subject and tweak it, as it were, by seasoning it with salt. This comes straight through prayer and sometimes fasting with it. God will bless you for seeking him, for he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I went into my office after she said that to me, and I sat down and I said, Holy Spirit, what do I do? And I closed my eyes, and he spoke to my heart immediately. He did. He said, Lowell, when you breathe in, I will breathe in. When you breathe out, I will breathe out. When you think, when you search me, I will be there. I will be there every second to guide your every word that comes out of your mouth regarding this situation. I blamed myself. I said, give me 60 days. Maybe I can fix this. This is probably my fault that you're doing this stuff. I was devastated. That woman never changed her mind. Never. I got a whole army of people praying for me. Well, I get my whole community of God's delight. Catholic Charismatic in Dallas, there's 1,500 of them. They all pray for me. You cannot change the will of another person. You cannot do that. And I thought she was going to come home. Never did. Cried every day. You ought to see my Bible. It's full of tears. Better the tears in the Bible than out of a bottle or drugs. So many people go there. No, the Lord kept me away from that. And I had to deal with my angers, too. And I went for counseling, all kinds of stuff. But she made up her mind. She wasn't going to stay my wife anymore. It was a year and a half old child that we had at the time. Difficult, to say the least, but God brought me through it. So the important thing is, over and over again, I tell all those that will listen to me, there's a personal relationship to have with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ if only one will humble them oneself under the mighty hand of this great God, Jehovah, the great I Am, and ask for his guidance, his leadership. Should we do this all day long? Brothers, there is simply and too easily many mistakes to happen in a day's time. One of them may cost you your life. That's, I'm telling you. It is important that we learn the word and it put the harness, a harness on our hearts, and let the Spirit rule, reign, and govern. How? Through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So that we may prove what the will of God is, that perfect, pure, and sweet taste of his words, bathed in love and holiness. At every moment of every day, we should strive to live Romans 12:1-2, and show what it means to be truly transformed by the renewing of our minds. That body, that verse, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. How hard this is to obey as the spiritual battle ensues between our flesh, our pride, our ego, worldliness that we all struggle with, and our born-again spirits. Paul tells us strongly, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing, Lord knows what's happened to me, you may discern what the will of God is and what is good and acceptable and perfect. Before I make any statement of what comes out of my mouth, I'm going to give you, now this is departing a little bit and going into what I've learned. I've been through clinical therapy giving it, and I did that for 9 months in Brown Deer. And what I did, I learned an awful lot from the MSA, that I was working with. But I'm telling you, I learned a lot from her. But here's some of the stuff that I learned. Before I make any statement of what comes out of my mouth, figure out in advance what should be the desired response. I say that slowly because you guys have no idea how important that is. What is my desired outcome when I say this or that? Then decide whatever comes back to me that I might not react to it, but simply respond and use only the last three words of what she or he said just to get them, to get it all out of them, and then let them study their words, not you. Remember, it's their thoughts and feelings. They just dumped on you, and you should let them own those feelings and words. So the important thing, I was being taught that as Lori was leaving me by the deacon in Louisville, Texas. We Christians are to control our own hearts and minds and discern the will of God through the Word of God. That's the difference between us and the world out there. We have to do that. If we don't do that, we're missing the point of being a Christian. See? That's the difference. It's very important that we realize that the fullness of the power and the light that exists within us shine brightly through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not mine. No, it's God's power. But the important thing, how am I going to grow? I'm going to grow by reading that word. That's how I'm going to grow. When I actually read the word during the day, I actually feel stronger. You guys can relate to that? When you read the word, after you get through reading it, you actually feel stronger. I can actually feel the strength increasing in my body. It actually has effect on my person. And it's wonderful. Why do I not want that? So I want to be stronger. Huh? I mean, I'm 69 years old. If I make it to 80, I'm going to be happy. Nobody in my family has. My mother had 12 brothers. 6 and 5 sisters. One mom, one dad. They all died of heart attacks. Talk about bad genes coming my way. I've already dealt with that. 3 years ago, next month, 3 years, I had open heart surgery. Almost didn't make it. My father died at 66. I was 66 years old when I had open heart surgery. Talk about a scary time. 11 days in the hospital. I don't ever want to go through that again. So this is what I'm trying to say. We Christians are to control our own hearts and minds and discern the will of God through the Word of God. I'm saying this again so you get it. It's important. Learn and study through thoroughly as His Word pretty well addresses all issues in one way or another. It's got to be the guiding light as it is full of power and might, and let it do its work through the Holy Spirit. You guys know that I'm an evangelist. And when I go to evangelize kids, or whoever it is, through the Godmobile or wherever the Lord puts me, I let the Holy Spirit do the work. I'm just there as an instrument of His work. I'm just there to read the Word and to let God do His work. I'm just a conduit. That's all I am. And if I put anything else in the flesh in there, look out, I might stumble. So I'm more interested in seeing the transformation of the heart happen in front of me if the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's just planting a seed. Depends upon what they'll accept. And I'm telling you, I got lots of experience at that. Let me give you one. This happened 2 days ago. I was sitting in front of Quick Trip. And there's a woman standing right about 5 feet away from the front of my car. And she was smoking a cigarette. And she's standing there. And the Lord said, pray for her. Just pray for her. And I just closed my eyes and I just said, how do you adjust? She's got some overwhelming things going on in her life. And I got this, my prayer of abandonment, that I've been handing out, the thousands of them. And he says, get one ready. The woman walked right up to my window. She stood there. Right. Didn't know her ever met him. I said, oh boy. So I rolled the window down. And I said, ma'am, I said, I want you to know that I've been praying for you. I said, I don't know who you are. I said, but I've been praying for you because God asked me to. And I want to give you this prayer. And so I handed her my prayer of abandonment. And she looked at that. She looked at me. And she thanked me for it. She didn't get mad. She didn't say, throw it. No, she didn't do that. She accepted it. And she got into the truck. She didn't say much to me. But I knew that at that moment I had done the will of God. And I had to discern inside of me what it is that is God's perfect will. I love to do the will of God. To me, it's food for my soul. That's what Jesus said. It was his will while he was on the earth to do the Father's will. Should we do anything less? That's our example. Let us all do the will of God. Whatever that is, do it. Don't complain. And I'm going to tell you something. When you do it, you will find out it's the most natural thing as a human being you can possibly do. And the rewards are great because you feel his favor. You feel it happening. And when his favor comes over you for having done the will of God or saying the will of God, whatever it is that he calls you to do. I was at Oral Roberts University many years ago, and the Lord wanted me to go in and do something I didn't. Oh, no, Lord, you're not going to ask me to take over the service. I'm going to have you. I'm going to stop the service roll, and I'm going to have you say some words. Lord, please. So I went into the back of the chapel, and they called it Evening Vespers. And I was standing there, and I was really fighting with God because I did not want to do it. I knew what he was going to ask me to do. And I'm just marching back and forth in the seats. All of a sudden, I mean, they're all praise and worship, 1,500 kids in there. And all of a sudden, I went dead quiet. He said, now, and he gave me the scripture that says, I am looking for the worshipers who will worship me in spirit and in truth. For that is the true worshiper the Father wants. He who will worship me in spirit and in truth. Did you feel the power of that verse? Can you imagine? I shot that thing all the way across. Everybody could hear me. Three people got up and walked out. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, I'm dealing in the lives of those three people. I was put there to have those people hear that so that those, especially those three people, could examine whatever it was that was wrong in their lives. Don't have a clue who they are? Don't want to know. All I know is that I had an assignment. So here's what I'm saying. You can be in, there's all kinds of different levels of how you can control this tongue. But the important thing is you got to search. Be careful what comes out of the heart. Because in Jeremiah 17:9 it says, the heart is deceptively wicked and desperately sick. Who can know it? Boy, this, I learned that in 1995. The Lord says, I'm getting you ready for your wife. I said, wow, really? Yes. And once I realized how powerful the thing my heart really is, I came to a place in my life where, I can control what comes out of here. By now, if I could continue to work, continue to read the Word, continue to read the Word, continue to read the Word. And the Lord says, the more you continue to read my Word, I'm going to promote you. Finally, I went to Israel in 2011, spent 10 days there. God changed my life, gave me two miracles. It was the most wonderful time of my life and set me up for the ministry that I now have. Came back, told my pastor, I says, I think I want to get ordained. And he said, well, I concur. 11 months later, in a lot of classes and going through like seminary stuff, I got ordained. And it changed my life. And I'm so happy that I can walk in front of somebody and tell them what I am. I can tell you this, and this is my own personal joy to share this with you. Sometimes when I say I'm an ordained minister in front of a total stranger, it grabs their attention and I get a respect that they didn't have before. It opens the door. And I go through that door every single time. And it has to be only the love of Jesus. There's no title stuff here. It only is the love of Jesus. I'm more interested in what's going on in that soul than I am for me to puff myself up. God, let's get that straight. I really am more interested in doing the will of God. I've probably got 3 seconds to work with that person. Happens in grocery stores. Happens all kinds of places. I had 5 kids in a hot tub down in Tennessee. I'm standing in the hot tub. God gave me a word for those kids. I mean, I'm telling you. Being Jesus, Lord in your life, will control the tongue. But it's a lifetime of sanctification, learning how to do that. And every time you do it, it humbles you to know that there is no doubt about it, that God is working. And when he's working in your life and you feel his power and you feel his love and his joy and his favor to come through you, to do what God has called you to do, just know that God has got a plan, a purpose, and a pursuit for you that are going to be there. And once you have attained it, you can just joy in the Lord. And you can say, thank you, God, that your will has been done through me. And then I said the right thing. I wanted to say this or that, but no, I want you to say what I want you to say. And I'm going to give you those words to say, and it's going to. I want to control your tongue. And I'm going to say one more thing. Most of you guys in here are married. And I want to tell you, I learned a big lesson on the success of marriage. Big one. I was married 3 or 4 years, and I learned this lesson. And I'm willing to pass it on. God gave you that wife. He expects you to keep the peace in that home. If there is a little battle or something that ensues between the two of you, God will tell you what to say to her so that peace will come back. Don't you dare to go to bed with angry hearts. Don't you dare do that. You've got to fix that problem before you hit your head on that pillow. And there's got to be peace in that marriage. And it's up to you to bring it back into it. Not her. You. I don't care what you got to do, but God wants to do that. And when you can do that, you can honestly say, there's peace in my, and then you'll go to sleep that night. I've definitely walked that 3 or 4 times in my marriage. Not any more than that, because we've got a pretty good marriage. But I can tell you this, after 22 years of marriage, she's still a sweet baby doll. And I'm precious husband, and that's the way it is. So the important thing is that I thoroughly enjoy my walk with the Lord. My reward is sitting over at W151 North at the 8686 Marshall Drive. It's sitting over there. And as I speak this morning, we are a team. She is praying for me. She's praying for me right now as I speak these words to you guys. And I can tell you from my heart, from the bottom of my heart, that if I didn't have this team thing going on with my first marriage, Lori didn't like that part of me. And so as a result of that, the whole thing fell apart. And I guess it had to, because it wasn't going to happen. But the important thing is that I'm doing God's will and that I have her support. So family is incredibly important in your life and your life. Incredibly important, that support. You can't imagine that. But here's what I'm saying. He wants full control of your tongue. He does it by constantly filling you up with His Word. The more you read His Word and take notes. Take notes when you're reading His Word and date it. Take notes and date it. I got volumes that thick of things that God said to me back in the 80s. And the closer and the stronger and the more deep that your relationship with God gets, the happier you get and the fuller that God has for you. Because we all got rewards waiting for us up there. Some of them are small. Some of them are great. So I've had said that, and I'm going to just pray over you now. Father God, I just lift up all these men to you. And I thank you for the lives that they have. And now, Lord, when I go to Vegas next week and I visit my son and watch my granddaughter and her gymnastics routines, that let me be a light to those people out there. And handing out some of these prayer of abandonments to people who need it. Just show me who needs to see this light that you've given me. Because I'll be there for about 5 days. I won't be here next Saturday. So, Lord, I carefully give you all the praise for all that you're doing in their lives and my life. Make all of them speak your words and give them checkpoints in their hearts to check their spirit, check their soul, and help them to know and hear your precious word and what you have to teach them at any given moment in their lives, and make them all beacons of light unto them that are perishing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.